This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me soon to get in on the action.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. This is Stacey Gatsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. If you're on YouTube, greetings. If you're listening, greetings to you as well. Welcome to the show. It's not going to be a very positive show because the Yankees have lost four in a row now after winning 13 in a row. And lots of things that are happening during these four games were not happening during the 13-game winning streak, so we'll talk about that. We'll recap last night's game. We'll preview tonight's game, which, by the way, is 7 o'clock our time. So it'll be like an East Coast game for once instead of starting, you know, just before 10 o'clock. So we might get normal sleep tonight, which will be nice. And I believe this is the last time they're going out West. Let's hope, because West Coast trips are not only brutal for the players, but they're brutal for the fans. Who wants to stay up till 1:30 in the morning watching a frustrating loss? You can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher. When you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees, and you can subscribe on YouTube, Locked On Yankees. Very simple. So it's September 1st, which is kind of strange because it feels like the year's flying by. And then in other ways, it feels as if April and May were in a completely different year. Why does Corey Kluber's no-hitter feel like it was 3 years ago? And why do the April-May Yankees want to rear their ugly head during this four-game losing streak? Whew, last night was frustrating. Another Yankee starter, this time Jameson Taillon, decided to give up a bunch of runs in a bunch. That works. Yeah, he gave up a bunch of runs in a bunch, bunched up into two innings. He gave up all six that the Angels scored. He was looking good at first and then ran into trouble, which is what Jameson Taillon was doing in the beginning of the year and into about June, and then things started getting better for him. It feels like he's hit a bit of a wall. It also feels as if Aaron Boone is back to making decisions too late. I think they probably should have taken Taillon out a batter sooner than they did. Maybe two? I don't mean to play Monday morning quarterback, but I felt that way while watching the game as well. So it's not just a case of me watching something happen and thinking, oh, Boone should have taken him out. No, I was wondering if Boone was awake, which didn't happen too much during the 13-game winning streak. There were a couple of games where Boone made some questionable choices, but the team was playing so well that they kind of helped him out there and they didn't come back to bite him. And during the 4-game losing streak, that's not happening. And it feels... this feels like the Yankees team of July again, heading into September, and they don't need that. Hopefully, Gerrit Cole can stop the losing streak tonight. So let's go through last night. Similar to the night before, the top of the order got things done. But Jameson Taillon, let's go through his numbers first, because he was the real problem last night. Not that scoring four runs automatically means the team's going to win. But the Yankees scored seven on Monday and still didn't win. They scored 11 runs in the last two games. If you score 11 runs in two games, you would think your team would win at least one of those games, and that's not happening. So I'm not going to put the onus on the offense, even though there were some moments where the offense should have kicked in and maybe done some stuff. But this is on the pitchers the last two games. So Taillon went 4 2/3, gave up six runs on five hits, two walks, six strikeouts. The home run to Walsh, that guy's a pain. He has 25 home runs. Jared Walsh has 25 home runs. This, it almost felt like an Angels game from the early 2000s, like especially early to mid 2000s, because that's when the Angels gave the Yankees fits, you know, 2002 to 2005, 6-ish. I remember when the Yankees were going to play the Angels in the 09 ALCS. And people were automatically assuming because of 0-2 and 0-5 that the Angels were going to win. And I kept telling everyone, it's different in a 7-game series. There's more room for error. And if the Yankees drop the first game, it's not as if they have to like really buckle down and try and win in 5. It's a 7-game series. It's completely different. Who was right? Me, of course, because even back in 2009, I was logical. So, you know, I wasn't as crazy. It was more 2002 and 2005 when I was, a little hot-headed. Was it 2002 when they lost to the Angels? I was living in Staten Island. I broke a hanger, banging it into, I think, my TV stand at that point. And then 2005 when they lost to the Angels in the division series, I believe I broke a mug. I've calmed down a lot since then. I what are you going to do? People are crazy in their 20s, especially when they're rabid fans. And you see that with other fan bases who boo players that probably shouldn't be booed, and with our own fan base with players who shouldn't be booed. So the top of the order, LeMahieu had 2, Rizzo had 2 hits, Judge had 2 hits, Stanton had a hit, Urshela had a hit, Sanchez, the home run that pulled them within 3-2. At that point, you're feeling kind of good because it's still early and you're thinking, okay, 3-2, yay. And then Tyone. Otani steals home on Joely Rodriguez. That run counted toward Tyone because that was when they intentionally walked him, right? Put him on the base. Otani would have been out on a better throw. I mean, heads up play by him. And Michael Kay mentioned that he's on pace for over 50 home runs and over 25 stolen bases, and that's never been done in the history of baseball. That's how good Shohei Ohtani is. The man is amazing. And the sad thing about it is the Angels aren't set up for success yet. So the only time that people get to see Shohei Ohtani is when their teams play him or during the All-Star game, because networks aren't clamoring to put the Angels on just for him. They like to put teams on who are doing well or have a chance in the playoffs, and the Angels still don't have that yet. And it's kind of a bummer when you think about Mike Trout, how many playoff at-bats he has. It's a handful. National audience never gets to see him either. And the Angels are just wasting these two guys. And I've said this before on other shows. It's a shame that they're wasting two generational players. These guys are amazing, really. Ohtani is just otherworldly when you think about it. He hits the ball well, he pitches the ball well, he runs the bases, he steals bases, he's a heads-up player. He's just, I don't know. It's almost as if he were created in a lab. How does he actually exist? How does Shohei Ohtani actually exist? He's amazing. And as I said, it's a bummer that no one really gets to see him play, because he should be on a national stage. More baseball fans and kids growing up and playing baseball should be able to watch Shohei Ohtani. And they can't, because the Angels just don't know how to build a good team anymore, which is sort of good for the Yankees in a way, because as I said, 2002, 2005, you know, there were times when the Yankees went into series where you think they were going to win, especially 2002 was a pretty strong team. That was a frustrating series. 2005, that was the series when no one could hit. That was the Bubba Crosby, Gary Sheffield crash in the outfield in Anaheim during the division series. What an ugly division series. Oof. Who wants to think about that anymore? See, every time they play the Angels, I'm reminded of that stuff. I don't even think about 2009. I think about the bad stuff, which is not fun. Shouldn't be that way. Anyway, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport, aka the Yankees and baseball. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Yankees. I'm going to try. I keep trying, and then I keep forgetting. I apologize. So you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. And we have fun conversations. I usually do watch parties. We'll watch a game, talk about what's happening. Sometimes we have non-Yankee fans coming in, which makes it even more fun because they get to discuss their team if we're playing them. There was one time it was during a Yankees-Tigers game. So it's the perfect place to start or join conversations about baseball. You'll find fans like yourself, again, for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns. You'll have a chance to chat with me. I might even try and put some of our Green Room conversations into the show. So go download the free Green Room app now, available on all iOS devices. That includes iPads. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group. That's important. For the latest league updates, follow me at Stace Gotts to be notified when my room goes live. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Yankees, especially now that they're sliding in the wrong direction. See you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So let's get into the game even more. So after Tyone left, Joely Rodriguez came in, pitched an inning and one third. Like I said, when he was pitching, Ohtani stole home, but that was charged to Tyone because he's the one who put Ohtani on base. And then after that, Lecky pitched two innings. Can we talk about Lucas Lecky? I know I've talked about him a bunch, but the man had not pitched in Major League Baseball since 2015. And what he's doing for the Yankees this year, the fact that he was able to make the Yankees this year was a minor miracle. But the fact that he's been an important cog in the machine is also unbelievable. Two innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, three strikeouts. His ERA on the season is 2.93. It's amazing. I joked, was it last week? I joked that Aaron Boone was Scott Proctoring him. And then other people chimed in and said Paul Quantrilling him. If you're an older Yankee fan, you know what we're learning, alluding to. Tanyan Sturtzing him. Tom Gordoning him. Because Joe Torre used to love riding on those guys. Poor Scott Proctor. I don't know how that man has an arm. I really don't. He was used so much when he was a relief pitcher that it unbelievable. Oh, Zach Britton is going to have surgery. I forgot to mention this yesterday. He has more bone chips in his elbow, but the good thing is he won't, more than likely won't need Tommy John surgery, which was what everyone was worried about. I believe he's having the surgery tomorrow. Dr. Neil Atreich, I think that's how you say it. He's one of the main elbow surgeons in the country. He's going to be doing Britton's surgery. So that's a bummer for Britton. He's had a very rough season. You know, starting off with the elbow surgery at the beginning of the year because he had the same sort of thing with the bone chips. There are more in there. He does have a slight strain in his UCL, but they think that it'll be okay and that he won't need Tommy John. That's always a scary thing. Anytime you hear any kind of strain with the UCL, that's, you don't want to hear that. But I feel bad for him. What a bad year for him. Gleyber Torres is still in Somerset. I'm assuming because the Yankees are coming home, that he should be activated for this weekend. Let's hope. I kind of miss Gleyber. I hope that, you know, he contributes in a big way. That would be lovely. So the Yankees are falling way behind the Rays right now. But to be fair, the Rays have played the Orioles 7 times in this last stretch. They're playing a COVID-ravaged Red Sox team that can't do anything against them. And the Yankees will be facing Baltimore this weekend. So hopefully, because some people are thinking the division is completely not on the table anymore. But we saw how quickly the Rays' lead increased by 4 games. Because if you win 4 while your closest opponent loses 4, of course, you're going to pull ahead in the race. But the same thing can happen in September when the Yankees' schedule gets easier and the Rays' schedule gets harder. So the Yankees are playing Baltimore for 3, Toronto for 4. Toronto is not easy, but Toronto is falling off a bit. And if the Yankees can get to their bullpen, which is their most questionable part of their team, they have a chance in those 4 games. And if they neutralize the offense, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having a good year, Bo Bichette, all those guys are hitting the way we expected them to hit. Then they play the Mets for 3 games, and that could go either way. The Mets are kind of going on an upswing now. Then again, they were playing the Marlins. Not that the Marlins are absolutely terrible. They are the last place team in the NL East. They do have good pitching, but that first game of the doubleheader, the Marlins were winning 5-1, and then the Mets scored 5 in the bottom of the ninth to win. After the Mets series, the Yankees have the makeup game against Minnesota at home. They play three in Citi Field. Then they play the home game against Minnesota. Then they go down to Baltimore for three. Then they come back home for Cleveland and Texas. Those games are important. They need to win most of those games. They're playing three against Cleveland, three against Texas. They need to go 4-2 in that stretch. Then they play three in Boston with a day off, three in Toronto. And then after Toronto, they come home for that three-game series against Tampa. So that is very important. Very, very important. There's still a way that they can win the division. That's an easy schedule. I know that they're playing other major league teams, and it's not a guarantee that they're going to do well against the bad teams, because the bad teams don't really have things to play for other than ruining other teams' playoff chances. So that could go against the Yankees, but I feel like that schedule is a cakewalk compared to what their schedule has been. So I'm going to go and look at Tampa's schedule. They're playing the Red Sox tonight and tomorrow. Now, the Red Sox have Sale going for them. We'll see how that goes. Hold on. Can I get to their schedule? Maybe I can. Hold on. I'm going to have to pull it up on my computer. Yeah. I can't remember the number now. And I forgot to bookmark the tweet. But the Yankees' schedule is going to be the third easiest in September. And the Rays' schedule is going to be the sixth hardest in September. So that might play to the Yankees' advantage. Again, nothing is guaranteed. The Yankees could lay an egg against Cleveland and Texas during that stretch. You know, the Mets could come out fired up and try and beat them in Citi Field. Plus, it's Citi Field, so you never know. So nothing is guaranteed, but nothing is done yet, okay? This is what I'm trying to tell you all. Nothing is done yet. Anything can happen. Like I said, the last four games and the last four days, the Rays picking up all those games just because the Yankees can't get anything done, and they're playing opponents that are just, I mean, the Orioles are horrible. The Yankees need to sweep this weekend. That's the bottom line. None of this 2 out of 3 stuff. None of this, this was a good series. We won 2 out of 3. No, you need to roll over the Orioles. They're bad. They're a bad baseball team. That needs to be done this weekend. That's my advice for the Yankees for this weekend. Oh, I have more advice, but this advice is for you. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? And when you talk to someone who loves Built Bar, like myself, they're passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know their flavors, here they are: coconut, cherry Barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, double chocolate, German chocolate. My favorite flavor, I tell you all the time, is mint brownie. It is fantastic. I could eat it every day for the rest of my life. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors, and then you decide what you like and then just keep buying it. Built Bars are not just the best tasting protein bar, but they're healthy too. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and they're just good for you. They're also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. Go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Get the mixed box. I'm telling you, that's my advice for you. Get the mixed box, try them all, figure out what you like, and then just keep buying boxes at Built Bar. I would not steer you wrong, I promise. Again, go to builtbar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching sports highlights on your phone while you have your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called Direct TV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I don't know about you, but it is annoying to have different things to be watching everything. And I don't steal anyone's logins for anything, though. I feel, always feel bad about that. So let's preview the final game of this series, which it's important now because you can't go on a 13-game winning streak and then go on a 5-game losing streak. By the way, first time since 1982 that a team has followed up a 13-game winning streak with a 4-game losing streak. Who did that? The Braves. And you know how they did that? I believe they opened the first 13 games of the season on a winning streak and then lost 4 in a row. They ended up losing the NLCS that season. Joe Torre was the manager. I don't quite remember that. I was 8 when that happened because I paid more attention to the Yankees at first and didn't really pay attention to too much around baseball. The first World Series I really remember is the Tigers in 84. For some reason, I paid attention to that one. I don't know why. But anyway, Gerrit Cole looking for his 14th win of the season. He has a 2.80 ERA overall. And let's see, as my phone kicks up, 148 innings on the nose, 200 strikeouts. So the one good thing about Gerrit Cole, no matter how bad his game may be, if he has a bad game, he still strikes out a bunch of people. In his last start against Oakland, he struck out 9 in 6 innings, got the win, didn't give up a run in those 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, only walked 2. Now he will be facing Packy Naughton. I talked about Packy Naughton on a different podcast. I can't remember where he came over from. Hold on. His name is Patrick. His nickname is Packy. But that name sounds like someone who should have played 100 years ago. I think you all agree with me with that. You would expect someone named Packy Naughton to have an old-time baseball picture on Baseball Reference, black and white, born in 1874 and played for like the Highlanders or something. Let's see. He's only appeared in 2 games because he just came over. He has a 1.69 ERA in 5 1/3 innings with 2 strikeouts. And let's see. He was drafted by the Reds in 2017. So he's a youngin. His last appearance was against San Diego on August 27th. He pitched 4 1/3, didn't give up a run, only gave up 3 hits, walked 2, struck out 2. Packy Naughton. I'm so excited about this because I may have discussed it on a different podcast. I'm not sure if I discussed it on this one, but that's a fantastic name. And like I said, it's a 7:07 start because the Yankees need to get away and get home for the Baltimore series. So it's 4:07 West Coast time, 7:07 our time. Thank goodness we'll be able to go to bed early. Hopefully we will go to bed on a good note tonight. Is there anything more frustrating than a West Coast road trip where the Yankees don't do well and you're stuck staying up till 1:30, sometimes 2 o'clock, 2:30, and you're frustrated by them losing? Then you have to wake up the next morning, do work, go to work, do whatever you need to do, and you still kind of have the loss on your mind because it was so frustrating. That's what last night was. Speaking of frustrating, the double plays. Let's get into this a little bit. They hit into 5 double plays last night. They hit into 4 double plays the entire 13-game winning streak. Joey Gallo, who doesn't hit a lot of double plays, has hit in the same amount of double plays in his short time with the Yankees than he did in his previous 90 games with the Rangers this season. Yeah, I joked that when Joey Gallo came over that he was going to ground into a double play in his first at bat. I'm glad that didn't happen, but it feels like the Yankees are infecting him with their double play disease. Not only that, I joked on Twitter last night when Brett Gardner was up with a runner on first. And I said, don't worry, Angels. The Yankees will ground into a double play even with Brett Gardner at the plate. 2 pitches later, and someone said it was the first time Brett Gardner had grounded into a double play since 2019. It just was not their night last night. It felt like the final game in Oakland? Yeah, it felt like the final game in Oakland, that no matter what they did, no matter how close they got, they just weren't going to pull it out. And that's how it felt last night. And that was frustrating. I believe Cole might save the road trip and salvage this one game because that is going to be a really bad plane ride back to New York if they lose tonight. That's going to be miserable. But then again, that could set them straight and make them realize that they really need to get this done because they can't keep losing. As I said, sales pitching for the Red Sox, that might help the Red Sox, but Xander Bogaerts was pulled out of the game. Was that last night or the night before? Because he tested positive for COVID. So he's another one on the COVID list. That team is just going to be riddled with it. Not that it matters, the vaccination amount, because Kike Hernandez was vaccinated. He got it. But there are a bunch of guys on the team that weren't vaccinated. So they're going to be spreading that around. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work out for them, because maybe even if Chris Sale pitches well, the Rays will still hold the offense down. So the Yankees just need to take care of their own business. I keep saying that, but it's true. And try and salvage this last game against the Angels. As I said earlier, you know, when a team scores 11 runs in two games, you expect them to at least win one, maybe both. And that's not happening. And so it's the pitching that's been the problem for the Yankees, specifically the starters the last two games, Kluber and Tyone. And Tyone just seems to be hitting a wall. It's not as if he's forgotten how to pitch, but that pitch to Walsh that he hit for the home run, but as I said earlier, Walsh has 25 home runs. It's not like he's a guy who has two home runs and you don't expect it. He's not Tony Kemp, who only seems to be hitting home runs against the Yankees. Thank goodness the Yankees don't see Oakland again. Hopefully they won't see them in the wild card game, or if they do, it'll be at home. So anyway, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. When you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. If you could be so kind, please rate this podcast to spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. And subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe, like, click on the bell notification so you know when I upload stuff. It'll be great. So enjoy your Wednesday. Hopefully, Gerrit Cole can save us from this misery. And I will talk to you all tomorrow.